The wondrous gift we've just sung from that carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. But oh, how silently it is given. You see, a lot of people love to, in their self-righteous, showy religion, love to jump up and down and shout and make so much noise and claim so much. But the gift of God comes silently. It comes within. It comes within. And those who receive this gift, they know. They know when they have received it. And so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. He imparts the blessings of his heaven. It's called the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus referred to it as the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And he told his people that this kingdom is no earthly kingdom. This is no earthly kingdom or no earthly rule, and it is indeed no earthly sign or wonder, but it is a wonder from within. He told his disciples who would follow him, the kingdom of heaven is within thee. In this last week or so, the theme of the gospel leaflet that has gone out into the homes and in the streets around locally in South Wimbledon and in Wimbledon Broadway has been this theme: the unwanted gift. You see, the gift that he gives in the Lord Jesus Christ and has given is an unwanted gift. It truly is unwanted. It's unwanted by each and every one. And yet, by God's grace, there are some who are lovingly brought to have their will bent to seek after and want it. Want that which they had no desire for. As Isaiah the prophet says in Isaiah 53, he is rejected of men. But yet, those who God comes to from within, he reveals this gift to, and he gives them a desire that only he can give them. It is eternal life, this gift. This gift of God is eternal life. It is not tinsel. It is not turkey. It is not trees. It is not carols. It is not lights. It is not candles. It is not Christmas. The gift of God is eternal life. It is eternal life. Jesus praying to his Father shows us what this gift is, explains to us what this gift of eternal life really is, and that it is his alone to give it. That is what a gift is. We all know what a gift is in this life. A gift is something that someone gives to us. We don't claim it from them. We don't earn it from them. It is lovingly given to us because they want to. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, says the Saviour. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John 17:2-3. This is eternal life. This is the gift. This is the gift that how silently is given by God. as he imparts to human hearts. This is the gift. Like all gifts, this gift of God that is called indescribable or unspeakable, beyond understanding or reason, and cannot be explained, is known as a reality to those it is given to. You don't know you've received the gift by definition until you've received the gift. You don't know there is a gift for you until it is given to you. It is not asked for as we would make our lists of wants and likes, as the kids make their lists as they look at the catalogues and they cross off all the things that they like and want. That's not this gift. Nothing of the sort. It's not asked for, but yet it's graciously given. But although there is none who warrants such a gift, such generosity, it is brought to those God has granted to receive it, as many as thou hast given me, the Saviour says. The Bible says that although nothing good is deserved by anyone from God, Mary knew this, you've regarded the lowliest state. The lowliest state. I have rejoiced in God my Saviour. But yet she was told, you have found favour with God. Why me? Why me? She says. That's the true cry of the true one. The true one who's brought to know this gift. No pride. No seeking after attention. But only praise. Praise and thanksgiving. That I have received such a gift. The Bible says, although nothing good is deserved on account of being sinners, those he grants the gift of knowing Christ, which is to know God. The opposite is the case. For the wages of sin is death, both physical and spiritual and eternal in hell itself. That is the wage. That is what we deserve for our sin, for our rebellion against God. We've worked well for it, if you like. We're paid in full for it because we have done all to deserve it. It's a wage. But the gift of God, no wage, nothing worked for, nothing that we do anything for. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is all of grace. Nothing else. God's free and sovereign and wondrous grace. Sovereign as in he is in charge of it. Sovereign as in he rules it. Sovereign as in he has decided it. Sovereign as indeed he grants it and brings it by his own power. You can do nothing to receive the gift of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Grace is just that, meaning a granting of mercy where punishment is deserved. Good tidings of great joy indeed. Good tidings of great joy indeed to those who receive this gift, who hear this gift, receive this gift in their hearts. Yet he must come to you and reveal himself by faith. His gift that he gives also. He gives the gift. The only way. He who must come to God must believe that he is, the scriptures tell us. But we do not by nature believe God. But he gives graciously this gift to those he calls to receive the gift of eternal life. If you like, the faith is that label. The faith is that gift label that says for certain that the gift is for me. It's got my name on it. Underneath the trees that rot away, underneath the trees that people put in their living rooms, there is often the seemingly small, forgotten, insignificant gift when everyone's handed out gifts around the family and around the friends. Somehow it got overlooked. And someone goes to that tree, do they not? And they say, oh, there's another gift here. And usually it's not theirs. And usually you say, oh, there's another gift here for you. There is still one here for you. Maybe you have heard all about Christ Jesus and know he was crucified and rose again the third day. But like so many who have a kind of belief, it is little more than glitter. It is little more than tinsel. Mere religion and ritual. You know, we live in days now that even the ritual is gone. Perhaps the ritual is gone from this place because we preach the gospel and we preach Christ and Christ alone and him crucified alone. And they've got wise, if you like, because people do not want Christ. They do not want Christ. They do not want Christ. But nonetheless, even the ritual on the whole in this land is passing fast. But yet, you may be in a kind of belief that is little more than glitter and ritual to make you feel good. Mere religion and ritual. But that is you if you have not received. That is you if you have not received, really received, the gracious call of God in the gospel. Within. But I am here today, as every week. I am here today saying to any that God gives understanding ears. There's yet, this gift is for you. If you hear God call, if he makes you call, he will hear you say, there is this gift, it's yet here for you. No one else. So you see, it is a gift. It is overlooked indeed. It's an unwanted gift. It is overlooked. For the message of the cross, which the Bible calls the cursed tree. There's nothing delightful about the Saviour's birth. Not to him whoever from eternity past and in time now, as he comes in Bethlehem and as he grows, he always is focusing his attention to that cursed tree of the cross. He sets his eyes toward Jerusalem, we read constantly. There is no fleshly good news, no delightful news told to Mary by Simeon. What does he say? A sword shall pierce your heart. This one is born to die. It's not the message that anyone wants. I tell you what, it's the message that nobody wants. Because when we hear that this one was born to die, we see why he was born to die, and then we see that if he is not born to die for us, we indeed see judgment is coming. For it is appointed for all men to die once, and after this the judgment, says the word of God. It just reminds us of what we know really in our conscience, that God is still placed there. Save the Children have been advertising throughout this season with a headline, "No Child Born to Die." I beg to differ. There was one child born to die, and born to die alone, and he is the one who came to Bethlehem. And it was a cursed tree, where Christ was made a curse, we read. He was made a curse because upon him was laid the foulest of foulness. Laid upon him was the sins, the iniquities of his people. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. This is him. This is him. This is him that these wise men bowed before. They knew somehow. Somehow they knew something of this. God was gracious to them. May God be gracious to you to reveal this to you. This, you see, is overlooked by most, if not all. It is not the message of Christ's birth to them. This has nothing to do with Christ's birth. Oh, we'll remember that once a year at Easter. No, idolaters remember that at Easter. We remember it every day. But that to them it is not the message of Christ's birth. For this message of the Bible, the cross, Christ and him crucified, the message of Bethlehem, is foolishness, you see, to some. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Oh, what a gift. What a gift to believe this. What a gift to have received this. What a wise gift and precious. For he is all my salvation. He would, by his death on the cross, pay the debt for sin, making his people right with God and acceptable now. The Bible says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." That's right. This helpless babe in the manger. That's right. This young child in the house where the wise men came to prostrate themselves before. He is the one who rules in the armies of heaven and earth to do all his will. And there is none who can stay his hand. And yet, in his greatest act of outsmarting everyone, including Satan and all the powers of darkness, he surrenders his hands to a cruel cross to pay the punishment for his people's sins, where they think they rule over him. He is leading captivity captive himself. What a message. So why do so many turn their back on Christ and say of God's gift, the real gift, "Not for me. That's not for me. That's not for me. I'll have the tradition. I'll have this. I'll have that. But that's not for me. Not for me. I don't want it. I don't want it." Let's be honest. We all know what it means to have things that we think, well, just don't get me that gift, please. it's not for me. It's not the sort of thing I want. And at this time of year, I don't know if you've noticed, the last couple of years, the shops have got wise to this. They've got a whole department set up now. It's really organised of unwanted gifts. The minute you buy a gift, they say, do you want a gift voucher? Do you want a gift receipt? So it can be brought back. It hasn't been given to the person yet. So much. You see, so much unwanted gifts are given to people. My dad's got a physical suitcase upstairs, and it's packed with gifts he's never opened. He once gave one back to me because I needed a pair of gloves, and I'd given them to him about 4 years previous. It comes in handy at times. You see, there are many things that are given that people don't want. But this gift isn't given to those who will never receive it. Those who receive this gift will not give it back. They will not give it back. Somehow they're made to want it. Somehow they are made to see it wasn't at first the thing that they were looking for. I'm found by those who sought me not, the scripture says. It's not the sort of thing we were looking for. We were after something a little bit more delightful to us, something a little bit more tantalising to us. And yet, just like at this time of year, people are brought to say, oh, hang on, I could have just done with that. And they say, actually, that wasn't such a bad gift after all. Because it's something I need. It's not something that's going to wear out and I'm just going to lose interest in. It's something I need. Perhaps if people got back to just getting their needs at this time of year, to be content with food and raiment, to be content with what we need, there would be less stress and greed. Why is it not to everyone's liking then? If this gift is so good, why is it not to everyone's liking? This question must be asked. If the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus, is so wonderful, why is it not to everyone's liking? You'd think that people would be racing to receive it. But nobody. Nobody by nature does so. The answer is simple. Because he must rule. No one wants, you see, to be told what to do. No one wants to be told that they are not master of their own destiny. Nobody wants to be told that they are not in charge. And see that Christ is ruler over all things. He's ruler over all and must take up a specific rule. He must take up a rule in his people's hearts. Far from a bad thing, the gift of God to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, is to know the kingdom of God, is to know God as ruler of all things in their life. And it's not something that is a displeasing thing. It is a thing that is most wonderful to the one who receives it. But they must be brought to acknowledge this, brought to delight in this. You see this, we see this proved, that this is why Christ came. He comes because he is come to save his people from their sins, but these people he comes to save from his sins, he is ruler over them. He is ruler, he is king, he must be king. We see this from one of the gifts presented to him by the wise men as they fell down. They didn't bow the knee. They prostrated themselves before a young child to the floor to worship him. Gold is the reason that most don't want God. For we see by the gold that he must be acknowledged as king. He must be acknowledged as king. He's not saviour if he's not king. The gold tells of how you are not the most important one in this universe. You're not the most important one in your house, in your life, in anything. You're not the most important one. And that Christ is king over all things and everyone. Like it or not. Acknowledge it or not, he still is. He is the one you must answer to. But unlike being brought before an earthly, temporary king, those which come and go, Christ Jesus is the eternal King of heaven, King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ the King, God in the flesh, demands your allegiance as of right. He doesn't pretty please beckon you. He doesn't pretty please plead with you to let him in. He demands allegiance. That's why so many were troubled, you see. For he is king already. For he is before all things. Him who came into the world is God Almighty, who is eternal and has always been king. Where is he who has been born king? Nobody is ever born king. Ever. There has not been a single instance on this earth of anyone bar this one being born king. No coronation for him. We don't make him king. He's king already. Him who came into the world is king and must rule. Whose goings forth from of old, from everlasting. He rules every moment of every day of every minute life form on this earth. And so his sovereign rule extends to you. Like it or not. Follow him or not. He rules everything. He, this one at Bethlehem, is the governor of all things. As the Bible says of him, the government shall be upon his shoulder. But this rule that this child has is not given to him by you. It's not given to him by me. It's not given to him by any man. He shall rule on the throne of his father David, but he's before David. And David speaks of him indeed. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down till I make thine enemies a footstool. He speaks of his Saviour, who's his Lord, who comes of his line. What a wondrous privilege was given these people. Nor would anyone have him to rule them as their king and God. Nobody would. The Bible tells us of when this Jesus was grown and declared who he is. Nobody wanted this gift. Nobody wanted this gift. The people said, we will not have this man rule over us. So no one wants this gift of eternal life by nature. To know the only true God and Christ Jesus whom he has sent. Sure, we will know and want to know the imaginations of our own heart. Who we think God is. Who we think Jesus is. We will not have him rule over us. He must come. He must come who rules over all things. He rules over all things working to his purpose. He works out all his purposes. His will is always done. It is him who works all things. And it is him alone who is sovereign and ruler over salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Yes, no one wants this gift of eternal life, to know the only true God and Christ Jesus whom he has sent. Something that you would think people would want. And if you know this Saviour already, you even more so are brought to see, well, how can people not want? But just think back. If you truly know the Saviour, you will be able to think back and you will see that you never wanted him either. Something happened. Something happened to make a drastic change. God entered in. You see, this is the reason why nobody wants this gift. Because to know God Almighty, Jesus the Saviour God, is to acknowledge, as the wise men acknowledged, his absolute and total rule over you. For by nature all are sinners and rebels against the Almighty God. For the flesh is at enmity, at war with God. The people of Jerusalem were indeed confronted with the news of his birth, and they were troubled. They were troubled. But not troubled enough to be moved to honour him as their only ruler. Those shepherds were troubled as well. They were sore afraid. The glory of the Lord shone around. But God graciously came by those words and said, "Fear not, unto you shepherds, is born a Saviour." And yet he remains unmoved by people's apathy, by people's rejection of him. He remains unmoved from his throne, from his rule. Everything's working according to his purpose. Everything. On his throne as the Lord God Almighty. He is not moved from it. He never has been. It is not true, as these modern hymns have said, that he came down from his throne. He never left his throne. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, but he is the incarnate deity. He's on his throne always. He never left his throne. He rules over all and sustains all things as Creator God. Like it or not, the Lord Jesus, who took frail flesh, it is him that you rely on right now, upon, for every single breath and every minute of life on this earth. You rely on him. Colossians 1 says, all things were created by him, by this one at Bethlehem. All things were created by him and for him. And listen, and he is before all things, but not just before all things. And by him all things consist. All things have their being. All things continue to have their being. All things are allowed to have their being. Will you be brought to bow before this one? Before this one whom the angels of God worship and adore, crying out to him, "Glory to God in the highest." That's who they cry out to. God, who is God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. They cry to God the Son. They look in wonder at this salvation he came to perform. They cannot comprehend it. They are lost in wonder. Glory to God in the highest. Or does the news of this Jesus, the truth of his coming, the truth of his coming, trouble you with the news that judgment truly is coming? For it is. Simeon said to Mary also, "He is come for the falling and rising of many." See, the message of Jesus Christ is good news to those. It is a sweet savour to those who are being saved. But it is indeed the stench of death to those who are perishing. Maybe you are brought to fear God right now by the believing the truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This kind of fear is a fear that does you a favour. This is a kind of fear that indeed does you good. Those chosen in Him from the foundation of the world, this fear comes by God revealing to you the Saviour. By breaking through the defence of your rebellion against Him to rule over your will now. To make you willing in the day of His power. To make you willing to come to Christ as Saviour and Lord. It is to hear the wonderful words, even though you are brought to see yourself a sinner and sore afraid, doomed without mercy, without a saviour, and somehow you hear the message of God's good tidings now. As they were heard by those shepherds, a personal message for you only. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Luke 2:10. Good tidings of great joy for all kinds of people of every nation. All peoples. Not just this little strip of land. All peoples of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. But listen, that's not enough. It's not enough just to know the gospel. It's not enough just to hear the gospel, the details of the gospel. The gospel must come to you personally. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Is He your personal Saviour and Lord? Is He? He must come to rule from within. Then you will be brought to gladly receive Him, to say by faith, yes, He is my God and Saviour, my Governor, Keeper and King. For to have this gift of knowing God Almighty, the Saviour, to have life eternal, is to have entered into the Kingdom of God. And that is impossible to do with man. Impossible. Something, an amazing act of God Almighty must take place within you. Meaning to have been brought under His rule. For you see, none will submit, as we've already seen, none will submit naturally. Only by a miraculous birth. Here we read at Christmas, and people talk so much about a miraculous birth. Fine, this was indeed a miraculous conception and birth, but we missed the point of the miraculous birth that must take place, be born in us today. A miraculous birth, a new birth must take place. You must have a new life, a new spiritual life. Only that will bow before this ruler. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He did not say he will be born again because he did something, because he believed. He said, you cannot see the kingdom, you cannot believe until you're born again. God must do something. God is ruling, and God in His rule must come and make His throne in your heart. If you have been brought to see, it is a glad thing to have life eternal, to have the Lord Jesus as your King, observing indeed what love He has for His people. For we love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. If this is you, if this is you, if you believe on the Son of God, you will not be troubled. But fear not, because these tidings to you are of great joy. If you believe on the Son of God truly for salvation, and only, it is because He has silently, oh so silently, but oh so truly, come to you within to rule. Is Christ your King, your ruler? Then show absolute allegiance to Him alone. For it will be seen, just as these wise men showed it openly. Amen.
Amen.